Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, James O'Neill, Lucy Bella Earl, and I, Luke Cubforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslabe will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Guys, how are you feeling?
Good.
I must admit, James and Lucy have an hour today to prep because me and Josh were really late to record. So
their
I
arguments
hope,
better be great.
I'm hoping for some fantastic...
We spent the hour waiting. So.
Well, James, you led the podcast last week with your story. Could you please tell us your poll results?
I did indeed. My question last week was, is Tess Holliday being on the cover of Cosmopolitan a good thing? And 63% of people said no.
I was so surprised!
Me too. I thought yes would win for sure.
Yeah, definitely
or,
on Twitter.
Or at least be more split.
Yeah, we seem to have a very anti-Tess Holliday audience.
63% of people is a lot of people to say no. Well, way
to be
more
fair,
than
afterwards,
I was expecting.
Afterwards, I did look into her a bit. She seems like a lovely person. She's,
oh, sure.
She's quite a nice person.
Absolutely.
Not that weight equals niceness. But
we
had a few fairly awkward conversations with people who are severely overweight,
I
asking me about my
anger,
opinion
yeah.
on that stuff. And I had to just be like, look, I'm sorry, you're unhealthy. And
Josh, leave it in the past. Leave it in last week. Yeah. Don't! James,
right.
What have they said on Twitter?
Oh, Georgia said on Twitter, obesity is obviously a growing problem, but Tess is not promoting obesity. She's promoting a state of mind of whatever people say is wrong with you. You are allowed to feel beautiful and sexy. Body dysmorphia is hard, and you are allowed to feel good no matter what you look like.
That's us told. Lucy, you were second last
not
week.
Not really.
I mean, I think it's us told.
Someone needs to listen to the podcast a little bit better.
So I asked if zero-hour contracts should be stopped. 31% of people on Twitter said yes, and 64% said no.
I lose again.
I had a good week last week, guys. Not going to lie.
Beth on Twitter said, as a uni student, zero-hour contracts help tremendously. Well, she obviously learnt that at uni. That
tremendous.
One job I was looking at, you literally pick the shifts you want to work a few weeks prior, and they give it to you just like that. As long as the employer is being ethical about it, then all is good with zero-hour contracts.
Which I think applies to everything when it comes to employers, really, in general.
As long as they're being ethical, it's
yes,
all right.
Yes, as long as they're being ethical, it's okay.
And I was very disappointed with the podcast audience last week.
You couldn't win.
Literally, I asked, is it okay to kill household pests? And I genuinely thought...
A lot of people
this is
say,
what I'm going to win easily.
Over half of people said yes, it's okay.
56%
think
yes.
Think of the poor
which
spiders.
Means we have a murderer audience, guys. How do you feel?
Didn't you freeze and torture a bee?
Let's
not get into that.
Shut up. Leave it in the past, Lucy. Leave it in the past. Megan on Twitter said, kill the male horny spiders, thanks.
No, do not.
I mean, without any context, that's quite a statement.
Megan. I love how every response we've had this week has been, like, eloquent and long, and Megan's is just, kill the horny spiders!
Discern. Megan, I can give you some really helpful numbers if you want some help. It's okay. That's a very angry person.
I thought you meant some numbers of horny spiders. Anyway, Lucy,
well,
please,
I thought James is.
So go and kill.
Can you start the podcast this week with your story?
So my story comes from The Express. Princess Eugenie's two-day wedding to cost taxpayers $2 million, claims wedding expert.
Ridiculous.
Here are the three things that you need to know, Josh.
Who is this wedding expert and what are their credentials?
While the cost of the wedding itself is normally covered by the royal family, security costs are met mainly by police forces and, by implication, taxpayers.
Oh, so it's 2 million just in police force
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. But the rest is paid for by the royal family.
Oh, how good of them. Paying for their own wedding.
Are they paying for mine too?
This October's royal wedding in Windsor between Princess Eugenie and James Brooksbank will be overseen by Thames Valley Police. The cost of security at the wedding hasn't been confirmed, but 2 million seems in the right ballpark. The royal family cost each British taxpayer 69p last year, which is up 4 pence compared to the previous year, with courtiers insisting the royal family is excellent value for money. The royal family's independent commercial property arm, the Crown Estate, also returned £329.4 million to the public treasury in the last year, a £12.7 million increase from the year before.
Very nice.
So, my question, a bit of a big one. Should the public fund the royals?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
No, I don't think so at all.
Oh, okay. All right, then why?
Because why? Like, okay, so I understand that we do make money from them, but why not make more money from them then? Just because we're making money from them, why do they have to live in such extreme languish? And like, why does it have to be so preposterously expensive?
I mean,
if they're able to afford the wedding itself, why can't they bolster the police payers' money? And if they have made $329.4 million, like, maybe more of that should go on boosting the police money instead of...
I mean, they would argue, and I think people, courtiers, as you very nicely said, Lucy, they would argue that the £2 million of police spend is more to do with protecting us in that that kind of event is a terrorist target. And so putting in place
police... Okay, the event's only there because they're getting married.
Yes, I know.
If I were, like, if I was a celebrity...
But the public will want to make a public event.
Well, yes, if you were a celebrity and you were holding a big event, you may well be given police.
By the government?
I actually don't know. Would you? Oh, I really hope so. Otherwise, I hate the royal family. I don't want to do that.
I imagine you would. You see, like... But I imagine there's also great private security companies, but... I do agree with what Luke's saying. It is probably to protect all of the attendees of the wedding, the public around the wedding as well, making sure it's not a terrorist threat. I'm in two minds about this. I don't think anyone really knows in clear terms whether they make us money or whether we lose money with them, because it'd be impossible to find out.
Supposedly we are told that they make us money, and the main source of money is that...
That's their only use at the moment, isn't it?
It's tourism, essentially.
It is literally tourism. They don't do anything else apart from protect the swans and...
Like. Well, they all do have private businesses as well, you know, like duchies that the Prince Charles has. I mean, that employs a lot of people. They do create other things as well, but they don't necessarily have to be royal to do that.
No,
but they do have to be in some way important. Big boasty point here. I met Prince Charles, and he was one lovely, and
I've
two
met the Queen.
Have you
gigantic?
Have you?
You've met the Queen.
I have. Yeah.
What?
She kissed me.
Shut up, Josh. Really? You have not met the Queen, and she did not kiss
me. When I was a baby, I met the Queen and she kissed me.
Okay, well, that doesn't count if you're a baby. I met Prince Charles about half a year ago, and he had giant carrot hands.
His hands are huge.
That's the most vegan thing you've ever said.
Giant carrot hands.
I'm never getting an MBE anyway.
Giant
so
carrot hands.
For me, when I was meeting Prince Charles, I had this overwhelming sense of, isn't it nice that we have this random family whose only sole purpose is to continue their family existing. Obviously they care about themselves, but also just to sort of do good things. And they go, like, when I met him, he was doing a charity event for anti-bullying and I just thought it was so lovely and so wholesome. And in a world where we have so much companies and government cuts and all these things, it's nice that you have these kind of famous, harmless, wholesome little people wandering around going, do nice things. I think that's nice.
But then we get on to Beatrice and Eugenie.
Yes,
who
I'm
aren't
thinking
then,
they don't really have royal duties, do they?
Well, no. So there's something called the Sovereign Grant, and that's the taxpayers' money. That is, I think it was 42.8 million last year, or 2016, 76 million this year, and that's the money from the taxpayer that goes to the royals, and they call it the Magnificent Seven. So it's the seven in line to the throne or something similar to that.
For what?
This is the money that they receive from the taxpayer. Princess Eugenie and Princess Beatrice do not fall under that bracket. Their dad have asked for them to be included, but they have not been. And recently they've just had their security cut.
Good.
$500,000 a year was going on 24-hour police protection for them.
Oh,
and their dad was very upset about that.
See, on one side, I'm kind of Because one thing I really like about our country is, so for example, the NHS. Take the NHS. You basically get the treatment you require at the point that you need it without having to shift out a load of money. It's not Princess Eugenie's fault that she was born into the royal family and therefore is a threat for kidnapping or anything like that. And so we, as a country, she's a human being. We couldn't just let her loose and do whatever because she might get kidnapped.
Yeah, but I think you're all missing the main point, which is, should the public fund the royals? And it, like you're saying, they have businesses. If they're making, if they are in profit, why still take from the taxpayer?
Well, because they are also serving the country to a certain extent. They're doing work. They go around promoting the country. They go on state visits, etc.
Right, but they don't pay tax, do they?
No, they do. They pay income tax. The Queen has since 1992.
Ooh. I didn't know that.
Voluntarily. She doesn't have to, but she's chosen to. And I mean, good that she's chosen to. I think there'd be uproar if she
what
didn't.
What a nice queen, mate.
I think the issue is, would they actually be able to pay the police out of their own pocket? They should make, maybe they
well,
could
if
make
they're
a big
raising 329 million.
Yes, but it's a service. They don't, the police don't discriminate. If there's going to be a massive event, I would like to imagine that there would be protection put in place.
Yeah, for example, you
no,
do
but
get,
if you want to throw an event that's that scale, you should have to pay for the security.
But you get police presence at, for example, an Ed Sheeran concert.
Yeah, private
Wembley
security
Stadium.
And police outside,
both.
Don't you?
You always have police there. And so it's sort of to do, like it's not it's it, the police there aren't there to protect Ed Sheeran. He has private security for that purpose. The police are there to protect the thousands of people who go and see Ed Sheeran, to try and make sure it's not a terrorist incident, etc. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think especially in a post-Brexit world where we essentially have to start arguing on the scale of the world why our country is interesting, having this sort of fairy tale king and queen thing makes us attractive as a country. And I really care about that because it's part of my childhood. And I like the fact that we've had the same queen since I was born. We've had Tony Blair and David Cameron. They've all been rubbish. And we have some consistency in our life. We have a monarch who stays consistent throughout.
I'd rather get better politicians than have a distraction in the form of a royal family to make you feel nice and patriotic. I couldn't disagree with you more on that, like, at all. And I can't disagree with any of you more. Like, I think you're all kind of going away from the bigger question, which is, should the public fund the royals, which is quite a general question. Okay, if everyone else is treated the same way. If I throw a public event where 10,000 people turn up, yeah, and that is covered by the taxpayer, like, didn't people get into trouble for that as well? Because they put a party up on social media, it went viral, so many people turned up, and then it wasn't done properly with the police and all that kind of stuff, so they got into trouble.
Well, that's because they didn't ask the police.
Okay, well, if that's a service that Joe Public gets, then yeah, of course the Queen and that family should get it. They live, you know, fine. But should the public fund the royals? Absolutely not. No, because we're not debating whether the public should fund the police. Because if that's what you're saying and that's spread across, then great. But your argument isn't an argument for the public funding the royals. So, no, I don't think the public should fund the royals if they are making that much profit. It's like getting a starter grant from the government, right? The government go, here's 50,000 for your new business at 21, you've left uni, here's 50,000 to a business. If you're lucky enough to get into one of those schemes, you then start to get into a profit. You don't continue to receive an annual grant from the government. You're in profit. So
yes, that's because you're then working for yourself. The Queen continues to work for the country and the royal family continue to work for the country.
And they enjoy a lot of privileges.
I'm sure
because
they do.
Of that. That's not that. I don't think that's justification at all. They are now in profit. Why do they still need to take money from the taxpayer?
Because if we stopped giving them money, they'd stop doing the state visit things and we'd stop. They just basically become rich business people. If you take away their public funding, they stop being members of state. They just become this weird thing that's a business person. It's a separate thing. Their business thing
but
is
that's
a
what they are. All they are is
well,
a celebrity.
Well, it's not though, is it? Because the Queen does her Christmas message and they go to other countries.
Right,
and
so
they,
they're a celebrity. Well, they're literally... Tell me one power the Queen has over anything.
Well, she can sign off laws, but...
And would be removed from the head of state,
yes,
by politicians as soon as she tried to do that.
Of course, but she still has that power. And she still goes off to other countries and promotes Britain to other countries, which she could just not do if we didn't give her any money. She could just go, right, well, I'm just going to sit at my big palace then.
How does she... I think there's better ways of promoting the country than some...
Like, I think you underestimate how exciting to the rest of the world, especially America, the idea of royalty is. They love that shit.
Great. And they're in a massive profit margin.
But
so
stop
why do
being
the
royalty
need to
if
stop
we, because if they'd
them.
Stop being royalty, they'd just go off and be rich people. They wouldn't be the queen anymore. We can't give her the title of queen if she's a privately owned entity.
I mean, I guess the question is, if we were to get rid of the monarchy,
yeah,
would loads and loads of tourists still come and visit us each year? Because apparently they're bringing 1.8 million, but no one can prove it. I think the answer is get someone in to properly study it.
Yeah.
Tell us if they're making us any money, then we can make a decision.
All right, then. So, Josh, in conclusion, should the public fund the royals?
No.
Okay, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week. That is my story. Okay, Josh, my story this week comes from E! Online, and it is that Kylie Jenner just tried milk and cereal for the first time, and the internet can't believe it. Here are the three things you need to know. It's been a year of many firsts for Kylie Jenner. She gave birth to her first daughter, style on her first Vogue cover, and then last week, the makeup mogul tweeted, "Last night, I had cereal with milk for the first time. Life-changing." For those who seem surprised that Jenner had not come across this conventional pairing before, she thankfully provided some clarity in a subsequent tweet, writing, "I always liked cereal dry. I never bothered with milk," and that is proof that she is a lizard. With over 200,000 likes on Twitter, it is safe to say it's caused quite the stir. It has since come to light, however, that Kylie may have been mistaken, or maybe lying, as TMZ reported that Jenner posted a photo of a bowl of cereal back in 2013, complete with what appears to be milk and fruit. My question for you, Josh, is our obsession with Kylie Jenner destructive for society? 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I disagree.
That is the reason Trump is in power, because of people like you that make people that like that kind of content feel insignificant
no,
and inferior.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God.
Yes, it is. You know, the left have this amazing way of having the most amazing ideals, but making me want to shoot myself in the face when I hear them talk about them. Like, literally, that sums up pretty much every left person
okay,
that I know.
Let me be clear. I'm not saying the people who like this stuff are stupid. I'm saying the fact that it is promoted is stupid.
Why is it promoted? She's tweeted. She has a big following.
It was the top of Twitter. I opened Twitter and it was like,
first thing.
I mean, well, then you get a bigger following, you do more than her to have a bigger following, and you can set what's trending. Like, it's not. And also, it's
destructive for society.
No, yes!
I don't even agree with that.
All right, well, James and Lucy, before I go off on my tirade, what do you think?
I just think it's a bit sad.
Yeah.
I can't believe this was such a big story. Well, when I saw it, I just didn't even bother opening it because I was like, wow.
But that's
woman
you.
Makes mundane phrase. Yes. But
have you guys read your Twitters back?
I will read my Twitter back, Joshua.
Your Twitters are...
You're much more interesting.
It's wholesome.
The other day, you were tweeting about Kylie Jenner eating cereal.
Yes. So. Oh, God. I'm part of the problem.
Yes.
Okay, also...
You absolutely are.
Also, I don't know how far I want to take this.
Go on. You can do it.
Well, what about people that are glorifying depression on Twitter?
I mean, it's a very different thing.
Like what?
Like, there are so many people at the moment that are kind of... There's this whole glorification. It's, like, separate to raising awareness for it. They're making it...
A meme.
Like, a meme.
Relatable,
funny. Like, and I get that it's okay to have a laugh about it, but I'd say that is more of a destruction towards society than just going, hey, I tried milk in the cereal for the first time. Because, I'm sorry, what you're doing there is you're saying... Twitter was meant to be a silly, fun place. How can I be funny? What's quirky? What's, you know, that side of things? If you're going there for hardline news, you're the problem, not the people that are going there for the whole Twitter cereal and milk thing. Like,
that is a very good point.
Like, that's not what Twitter's for.
To be fair, I think it is. Twitter have introduced a whole section of their app that
purely... No, because they need to be relevant and need to go in there. It's not.
They're claiming to be a news source.
Okay, because people are treating it like that.
Yes.
So
I think that's destructive for society.
Okay.
I don't think it's Twitter's problem. I think it's just the people are more obsessed with Kylie Jenner eating cereal than when what's actually been reported.
Okay, so my central...
What's actually being reported...
Good question.
That she tried cereal.
We're talking about
time.
Kylie Jenner now, so I don't know.
It was just like loads of news outlets making a story out of one tweet, but like a 500-word essay just about this one tweet. And the thing is, I'm not saying that I don't think it should be on Twitter or anything like that. I didn't care, so I didn't read the articles, and that was it. I applied my own filter.
But she has millions of followers. And exactly what you just said. Like, apply your own filter and don't judge and condemn a whole nation.
When I saw this, basically, my central problem with it was this. We, as human beings, have a certain level of... sense of what matters. We have a sort of moral compass in our heads. And if we are being told by our source of news, these multi-billion dollar corporations telling us, well, essentially what we've been told subconsciously, because on a conscious level, we know that doesn't matter. But if subconsciously, everywhere around us, we see things that clearly don't matter, but the world seems to be telling us they do matter, we start to question ourselves.
I think it's interesting you brought up. People aren't looking at that story and going, oh my God, she trad milk. Like,
very well might be then.
I really don't think they are, and I think that's your cynical view of people as opposed to people just going, that's really freaking weird. How has she not tried milk before?
Kylie.
Yeah, and also she's a massive public figure. It's only relevant because she's big. No one gives a crap if Bob next door has never tried milk.
I care more.
Like, of course she would, but that again is also being another kind of sheep.
See, I thought
if you're
it
that you're by default the opposite way, then you're just as bad.
Well, Bob lives next to me. I care about what he's doing. I don't care what Kylie Jenner's doing.
So I think the reason it was such a big story is because it was such like a mundane non-story.
It
was kind of funny to make it such a big deal. It had like comedic effect. That's why I think it was so big.
Yeah.
And then also people have a fascination with how the other half or other 2% or 1% live.
What do you think about... So TMZ have reported that actually she posted a picture of cereal with milk back in 2013. And essentially what that makes... That to me is another form. Because what she's essentially doing there...
They got the scoop.
Well, no, what she's essentially doing there is she's basically baiting the fact that people think she's so rich and out of touch she's never done normal things. And she's then sort of going, oh, I'll mess with them. I'll tell them I've never tried cereal and milk.
Don't tell me you've never tweeted anything that wasn't 100% true.
I've exaggerated.
That's not what she's done. She's a situation
just
or a story or
she's
gone.
She's just lied.
Or no, because like imagine she sat there eating a bowl of cereal with milk and goes, wouldn't it be funny if I tweeted that this is the first time I'd ever tried milk? Like, it's what's made her have that idea. It is meant to be a comedic platform. That's what I use Twitter for. Everyone I follow is comedy. It's an interesting little peek into people's lives. And I do not use it for news. And if you are, then I think you need to not.
I mean, maybe she forgot. And if Kylie
maybe
Jenner
she
can't remember,
she had cereal with milk.
Then why should anyone else care?
She's a busy lady.
Busy lady. She's too much on her mind.
All right, Josh. Well, in conclusion, I know what you're going
to
say.
To be fair, though, I think this is quite boring. But if I had tens of millions of followers, there'd be an article about me every single week about a tweet that I made. That's ridiculous.
To be fair, James's tweets are brilliant.
I really enjoy your Twitter.
Thank you.
James's Twitter's fantastic.
Thank you.
This podcast is slowly descending into... Luke's a cynical dick and everyone argues with him.
Well, no, it's just that you go scarily close to like George Orwell levels of... population control in your quest for everyone to be left, and that's just as bad as
they
right.
shouldn't talk about Kaija. I just said that the big corporation
I'm talking about
should...
in general.
All right, well, whatever.
Population control sounds like a ban on like sex.
They're allowed to talk about cereal, but it's
it shouldn't do it too loudly. All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is time for the last story of the week. That is James's story.
This one's going to be a bit darker, I think.
Oh, no.
My story comes from The Independent, and the headline is, we need to talk about Drake texting 14-year-old Millie Bobby Brown.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
We need to...
No, we don't. Why is anybody talking about this? Yeah, no, I get that. They're allowed to, but this is such a stupid
story. Let's talk about cereal, but not
about it.
Not about Drake.
Yeah.
The 14-year-old actress, famous for Stranger Things, amongst others, and the 31-year-old rapper have caused a stir with their unusual friendship. In a recent red carpet interview, Millie said, "I love him. I met him in Australia, and he's honestly so fantastic. He's a great friend and a role model. We just texted each other the other day, and he was like, 'I miss you so much.' And I was like, 'I miss you more.'" Millie also stated that Drake likes to talk to her about boys and likes to give her boy advice. Drake has yet to tell his side of the story, and there is no indication that this is anything other than an innocent enough friendship. Yet many have called the friendship inappropriate, and in some cases have even suggested that it is grooming. However, Millie has hit back, saying, "Why you gotta make a lovely friendship your headline? You guys are weird, for real," she wrote in a note posted on her Instagram stories. My question to you, Josh, is it appropriate for Drake and Millie Bobby Brown to be texting?
20 seconds, Josh, go.
The more I hear about Millie Bobby Brown, the more I like her. Like, she's fantastic, and she's 14. Like, her head is ridiculously well screwed on. I just we need to get her on the show. Like, I think she'd be able to
Can we book Millie Bobby Brown?
I think it's completely appropriate, and I mean, there's one sentence that stuck out to me, James, which is the fact that you said, "There is no indication that this is anything other than
innocent
enough."
There is no indication that this isn't a friendship.
And it's like, what more do you kind of need to say? People are going to look for stories. Mm-hmm. Idiots on Twitter are going to highlight things that don't exist. Yeah, okay, cool.
So, Lucy, if you were 14 years old and a 31-year-old man started texting you, without you texting first, by the way, he texted her, "I miss you so much," how would you feel?
My parents have friends of all sexes, and I used to be in contact with them, and no one ever thought anything of it. It wasn't weird, and I think people are just making a stupid story out of something nice.
Yeah. Also, what I think it's a bit strange to be to see that and go, "What's he trying to do?" When there is no indication of anything inappropriate. Why is that?
The bit that got me was when he started talking about boys to Millie Bobby Brown and giving boy advice. And
but that's fine.
That's fine.
I know.
How old is he?
I'm a lot less enraged by it now, but I saw the story a week ago.
How old is Drake?
31.
Well, he knows more about boys than she does.
I can imagine it being something like, "Oh, you know, you got to know your worth and stuff like that, and don't let boys talk to you in a bad way."
No, it's the fact
basic.
That she's the biggest 14-year-old actor who's being exposed to all sorts in the world right now. He's probably one of very few people that can advise her on how to be with guys that are going to come after her. Like, she is 14. None of us can comment on that world or that life or that industry or how it works. The fact that she has someone like Drake that can protect her from absolute cretins like the film industry that she exists in. There are some horrible people. Yeah,
well, I'm sure. Don't her parents manage her?
Very
I'm sure
well
with her
placed.
Parents, I'm sure with her parents as well. Now that I think about it, because I think her parents manage her.
She has a mumager, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she's on top of it. But when I first saw this story a week ago, I'm going to go really deep with this. I was groomed as a child online.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, there you go.
Wow.
And so my instinct saw red flags everywhere in the story. And I was like, you need to keep an eye on Drake. Not that I want to accuse Drake of anything, but... I saw some. The thing about talking about boys as well is like a major red flag, which is what I just saw this story and immediately emailed in, and I was like, I found my story. I'm going to do this week. But yeah, I'm sure it's innocent enough.
I mean, when is a red flag not a red flag? Like, what would make you feel like it's absolutely safe then?
I can't. Well, I'd only be 100% safe if I knew every little asset going on about the story, but
yeah.
We don't, and I know it's probably just vague comments made by Millie Bobby Brown in an interview.
Yeah, it's just a passing comment,
isn't
it?
It's just a passing comment, isn't it? And I'm sure that I've seen videos of Drake going to meet fans in the hospital and stuff. I'm sure he's perfectly fine.
I'm sure he is, and I'm not going to be quite so cynical on this one, and I do genuinely think, like, you're right, Josh, this is probably just something lovely. And Drake actually in the past has mentored lots. He mentored Justin Bieber when he was really young, and to be honest, I what I've written in my notes here is I think it probably is grooming, but financial grooming, in that he's probably he's just trying to get in with the new big thing, in the way he picked up Justin Bieber and made Justin Bieber a star. It's probably that's what's happening, because Millie Bobby Brown is a big friggin' deal and Drake is a businessman.
And she's getting into rapping now as well, isn't she?
Is she getting into rapping?
She did a Cardi B verse on stage.
She's fantastic. That's so good. The bit I found a little bit queasy, though, was the
Hang on, we've just had an entire segment when you dissed people for liking cereal and you've just gone Millie Bobby Brown rapped on stage. So yeah, absolutely, going back to that story, no, you can't be upset with those people. That's ridiculous.
I said, oh, that's cute, I can say that. Not like I'm not saying that the news media should publish stories about it. I'm just saying it's nice.
To be fair, for a bowl of cereal,
the bit I find uncomfortable, though, is the I miss you so much just feels not like I can't wait to see you. It does. It just, it irks me a little bit.
That got me as well. But also, she could be misquoting it.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's seen the texts. Like, that she could easily be misquoting that. As James just said, I'm just repeating his very good points to make myself look more intelligent.
Like, Josh.
No, and we should
boom.
Yeah, we should just butt out of her life, I think, a bit.
I'm interested to see the poll results in this one, actually.
Yeah.
How everyone else takes it.
The only other thing about this as well is it does come across... This is an uncomfortable thing we're seeing in the media a lot, where there was a newspaper story where it said... I can't quite remember the exact details off the bottom of my head, but it said something like, when did Hollywood get so sexy? And then it's listed, like...
What?
Adult actors, and then it had Millie Bobby Brown there, and she was 13 at the time.
I do remember this obsession that
our media has about young girls coming of age. The same thing happened to Ramona Marquez, I think her name is, from Outnumbered. When she turned 16, the media went, she's blossoming into a fully grown... It was like...
Is it anything worse than the word blossoming?
So I think it's probably a media thing, in that they... have this terrifying thing about sexualizing children, and Drake's probably just being this lovely little mentor.
It's interesting because I'm wondering how the news are quoting this and how they're getting away with it without Drake going, what? Because I reckon they're using Twitter. The reason this story is allowed to exist is because people have put their opinions on Twitter, and I'm starting to get really annoyed with Twitter being a quoting source for press. So
yeah, that's true.
The papers can only put across this portrayal of Drake and this massive story because they can go, and robot face 67-2 said he feels like it's grooming. We don't think that, but robot face has said that.
What gets to me is the headline. We need to talk about it. I hate that. That is so ridiculous.
This is why I chose this article.
That's from the
because
Independent.
Isn't that tragic?
If you looked at that headline, you wouldn't pick it from the Independent. I would say like
TMZ, BuzzFeed, Lad Bible. You know, that's the Independent.
I know, it's sad. It is sad, but it gets the clicks.
So, in conclusion, Josh, is it appropriate for Drake and Millie Bobby Brown to be texting?
Yes, but I do think her parents need to be aware what she is texting a 1-year-old man.
All right, and we'll leave this with the message that although we have said this is probably fine, Please, parents,
do monitor what your kids are doing.
And keep yourself safe online. If you don't know a 31-year-old man, just don't talk to him. Anyway, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the quickfire round. Josh, a man rubbed fruit on his bare bottom at a supermarket and put it back on display. Josh, what's the worst thing you've ever done at a supermarket?
I always eat a bag of cashews and then put it back. So I don't pay for it.
What? Do you actually do that?
No. What are you talking about?
You're a psychopath.
A
dead whale was left in a car park all night after being thrown in a bin.
Wait,
in
what?
I haven't actually read these yet. Our producer put these together for me this week. A dead whale was left in a car park all night after being thrown in a bin in New Hampshire. Josh, where is the weirdest place you've spent the night?
Oh!
I assume this is...
Are you calling him a whale?
Oh.
Josh, a whale! That is so rude! Oh, we need to let him do these
Josh,
more
you should
often.
Tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story.
What's the story?
Oh my God! Josh!
The weirdest place I almost spent the night was coming off a porch into a girl's room who we'd been out on a night out with.
I do know this story.
And her leaning in to kiss me, looking behind her head and seeing pictures of me and Luke and other people
on
the wall.
Oh no!
She, she was a fan of Luke's. And had pictures of me and my old cat from my previous relationship on the wall behind her.
And the weirdest place I've ever spent the night is on Josh's drain pipe.
Oh, you slept there?
I slept on Josh's drain
pipe. That sounds like a euphemism, but...
Okay, Josh, a giant vegetable whisperer strokes his leeks to help them grow. Josh, do you think stroking things can help them grow?
I stroke my leek frequently.
I think the things that stroking can do are nothing short of miraculous.
I think our producer Jack's been alone too long. And the good news story
of the week... We had an hour to kill, Luke.
The good news story of the week is Flora from Islington is the first dog to get a green plaque. Like the blue plaques, but for animals. Flora the Akita got hers for alerting her owners to oncoming blackouts, allowing him to find a spot to sit down safely and deal with the episode. Aren't pets just the absolute best?
Wait, so the dog can sense when the human is going to pass out?
Yes, and that's why I asked, aren't pets just the best?
Wow, that dog has spidey sense.
All right, so thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. Been a very good week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's stories, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's Quick Fire Round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Have I told you my joke for this week?
Oh no, tell the joke.
What do you call a very nosy chili pepper?
What?
Jalapeno business. Isn't it great?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.